bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Let's sing that again.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
You know, I'm kind of laughing. I think that God is adding some, what we call, that's called unpitched percussion. So there's some percussion going along here to go with our voices, and he loves that. So let's just belt it out. Let's turn to number 19, and it's Glorify Thy Name. And we'll sing number 19, and it moves into number 20, Oh, the Glory of Your Presence. So we'll sing both of those songs, Glorify Thy Name. The Holy Spirit is raining down this morning. That's right. Okay, we're going to sing about the Holy Spirit. I was already picked it. Okay, so right now, let's just glorify.
Father, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. Worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. And adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the
number 74. Isn't he? And it's fun. As we've explained this song, you can sing it as kind of a partner. Sing with me or on part one, or sing part two, which is kind of like an echo. So it's just a fun song to sing, isn't he? And I love the words.
Isn't he?
Isn't he
beautiful?
Beautiful.
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 Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Prince of Peace, Son of God, isn't he? Isn't he?
Isn't he
wonderful?
Wonderful, wonderful,
isn't he?
Isn't he?
Counselor, Almighty God,
isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Beautiful.
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 Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Prince of Peace,
Son of God,
isn't he? Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Counselor, Almighty God,
isn't he?
Isn't he?
Isn't he?
Isn't he?
You know, that's a sweet, sweet sound. And God is so appreciative of that. Let's turn to number 99, More Precious. More Precious Than Silver. Number 99.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Let's prepare our hearts by turning to 134, the Spirit Song. I think God decided that we'd had enough percussion, and he was ready for us to hear our voices. So, the Spirit Song.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love. Let him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you and his Spirit.
will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lungs. Jesus, oh Jesus, song of gladness as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to His name. Oh, give Him all your tears and sadness. Give Him all your years of pain. And you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your
Lord, for the rain. May have cut our crowd a little bit, but it's worth it. We'd like to welcome our, reminds you that little red book records your attendance and pass it across to the other side. In the back of your pews are the blue slips for you to indicate your concerns or praises. Fill those out, and the ushers will collect those during the first hymn. Now, we always like to greet our visitors. I'm not sure the rain scared any, but do we have any visitors today? Let's start on this side of the church. If you're a visitor, raise your hand. We want to know where you are because we have something for you. No visitors over here? Or how about on this side? Anybody on this side is a visitor? Any other visitors on this side? Call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. Oh, okay. Welcome. Thank you. The light's not the best. I hope I haven't missed anybody else. Here we go. Well, choir practice starting this week on Wednesday. We hope you can join us. Okay. We'll have our meditation while we have our prelude here. Thank you.
You're going to need all three of your music books today. I'll keep you on your toes. Today, we're starting off with page 27 in the Praise Book. Please stand as we sing together.
Standing for the opening words from your bulletin. Though others may forget us,
God remembers us in every moment.
Though we may seem worthless to some,
we are precious in God's eyes.
Though we may feel hollow,
God pours grace into us.
Though we think our pockets are empty,
God gives us more than we ever imagined.
Please turn to your Methodist hymnal to 337.
Yeah.
seated.
In your bulletin, we'll read the prayer of the day together. You gather us from our neighborhoods and from our playgrounds, loving God, so that we may discover in the torrents of fear, you would fill us with faith. When we feel our lives are about to sink, you would speak serenity and hope. You gather us from our preoccupations and from our prejudices, challenging Jesus, so that in the raging winds of society, we may find the courage to challenge injustice. We may speak the words which will offer healing to the broken. You gather us from our apathy, as well as from our activities, gentle Spirit, so that we may journey with others. We would put nothing in the way which would cause them to trip. We would find every moment the acceptable time to call out the powerful. In this place and in these moments, as in every time and situation we find ourselves, you gather us to learn from you, God in community, holy in one, and so that we pray as we are taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The ushers come forward for the offering.
Well, before we do that, I'll do the prayer concerns.
Okay.
We do have a number of prayer concerns from the congregation and the community. First of all, we pray for the Tisdale family. Barry Tisdale passed away this week. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Chuck Smith asks us to pray for the continuing health concerns for Lynn Skinner, who is a friend of many of us here in the congregation. So for Lynn's health, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Chuck also asks for celebration of bless the women and men that give so much to serve our church and community. Lord, in our mercy, hear our prayers. He also asks for comfort and prayers for Betty Thomas, who has been placed on hospice. I've seen Betty a couple of times, and she does need our prayers as she journeys from this life to her next life with her Savior. So, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Jackie Maxson asks for celebration prayers for Judy Broussard, who is now at home and recuperating pretty well, and she was up and about walking outside her home the other day, and she's a strong woman, and so she is going to do pretty well, I think. So, Lord, in your mercy, and celebration for Judy's recovery. So let us pray as a congregation. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for so many blessings. We thank you for this rain. Maybe we could do without the hail, but we do thank you for the rain that we are receiving to nourish your earth. May it, as it nourishes our earth, your earth, may your words nourish our bodies and our souls. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We ask that you be with our government at this time, that they might truly hear your words of what mercy and justice is all about, that they might read your scripture, that they might see that scripture is based upon loving you with all their hearts and all their souls and all their minds, and loving their neighbor as themselves. It is a tough time. So be with us all. Be with us as a congregation. Help us to nourish one another in both love and fellowship. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we will collect our offering.
You have told us it is better to give than it is to receive. So we welcome this time of the service, and we bring to you our tithes and our offerings. May our church use this money wisely for the work of the church and the glory of your kingdom. We ask you to hold it. Amen.
Amen.
Seems to be
be seated. Just bring them up here. We have a special treat for you this morning during our children's moments. Would the children who are going to sing come up?
We'll continue in your bulletin with a call to reconciliation. Let's say together the words. Our lives, our words, our foolishness show how hard it is for us to be confident to rest in God's ways and hopes for us, and not become so scared that when the winds begin to blow, let us confess our lack of faith to the one who knows this is the right time to receive forgiveness and hope. Join me as we pray together, saying, we are at our wit's end, O God, as we try to live each day. We could confront the angry voices around us with peace and grace, but our courage melts away. We could see you at work in those who care for the vulnerable, but we let our fears of those who we don't understand wash our faith away. We see your grace drawing close to us and cry out, no farther. Because of such lives, it is tempting to blame you, Holy One, and think you are asleep at your post. But you are the God who tells the storms of temptation to shush. You are the God whose love is not just now and then, but offered to us in every moment. You are the God who, in Jesus Christ, comes to us in order to comfort us, to encourage us, and to cradle us in your peace. While we may believe God does not always have the time for us, there is not a moment that God is not listening, not forgiving, and not restoring us to grace-filled lives. This is indeed the acceptable time to recognize, to accept, and to live out the reality that we are redeemed by our God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please turn in your faith. We sing to 2130, called The Summons.
Thank you.
I guess the Lord is moving in us, huh? Peace be unto you from grace our Father and his Lord and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, the Methodist Church, along with many mainline traditions, uses a lectionary, which means we use one gospel a year. And this year we're in Mark. And so Pastor Judy and now Pastor Francis uses Mark for this year. So if you didn't know that, it might be good to just sit down and read the Gospel of Mark this week. Mark is the shortest one of the Gospels. It was probably the first one written. And so Mark was used probably by the person that wrote Luke and Matthew as its guideline, and so there's a lot of stories in Mark that are both in Luke and Matthew. So you can whip through Mark pretty easily. So this is the sixth chapter of Mark that we're in today. So there's been some things that have gone on before that maybe you didn't catch. If you haven't either been in church or you haven't read the book so far. So I'm going to go through a few of those things that maybe you've missed that might be sort of important to the story so far. First of all, the first thing that Jesus did was cleanse a man with an unclean spirit. So it was the story of Jesus against Satan, battling Satan right off the bat, showing who had the most power. That's quite an important story. And then it was Jesus going to Simon's mother-in-law's house, who was sick, and healing Simon's mother-in-law. And of course, like a good woman that she was, she got up right away and served them. And then Jesus healed a leper, and then a paralytic, and then a man with a withered hand, and then a multitude of people by the sea came and just sort of crushed Jesus, and he healed them all. That's a pretty good story. Then we heard the story, I know the pastors preached on it, of stilling the storm when the disciples were so afraid and Jesus was asleep. So they're asking a man who wasn't a fisherman and not out on the sea very often to calm the storm, to take care of them who were fishermen. And then he healed a demon from a Gentile out in that land that Jews weren't supposed to go to. That was pretty important. And then he raises a little girl from the dead, Jairus' daughter. So we already have a story of raising from the dead. It wasn't just their friend Lazarus that it happened to. And during that same story, he cures a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. So that was always already part of that same story. And then we come to today's story in Mark chapter 6, the first verse. And I'm going to read it from a little different version that's in your Bible, your Pure Pew Bible, but you can read it from there too. And he left that place, and he comes to his hometown. Doesn't say Nazareth, but we know that's his hometown. And his disciples follow him. So he's had his disciples, and they've seen all these wonderful things that Jesus has done. Pretty good place to be around, right? And pretty good person to be around was Jesus, and seeing all these things. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, his home synagogue, his home church, so to speak. And the large congregation who heard him were terribly shocked. This is the hometown boy. And he starts speaking. And they kept asking, where does this guy come from? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? And such deeds of power that happened through his hands. Isn't this the construction worker, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And their encounter with him led to their downfall. And Jesus was saying to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and within their own family and in their own house. And he was not able to do any deed of power except that he did lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I need nourishment just like the land. Well, many years ago, there was a movie called Good Will Hunting. You remember it? You older people like me remember it. It was with Matt Damon as Good Will Hunting, and he had a genius IQ, but he was a janitor, and he chose that. He hid his gift that he had been given. He was sort of embarrassed having that gift. And the professors had written a really difficult mathematical equation on the board. And none of the students could get it. In fact, they couldn't even get it. And as Goodwill was doing the floors and doing his janitorial work at night, he looked at it and he solved the equation. And people were shocked that this guy could get it. And, you know, Good Will Hunting had a lot of emotional problems, too. You know, he fought, he got into trouble. He was not exactly the kind of person that you would expect good things to come from. And Good didn't exactly believe in himself. He wasn't comfortable in his own body and in his own mind. And people didn't know how to react to him. My dad had a cousin, Dr. Arthur Allschwied. He wasn't Swedish, he was German. And he was the executive secretary of higher education in the Missouri Synod.
Lutheran Church, which was pretty high up there, you know, in charge of all of the colleges and seminaries of the Missouri Synod. And I remember when I was in high school, Dr. Alschwede was visiting Denver, where I was from, and he called my dad, and my dad really didn't know how to react to him because he was so intelligent, but they had grown up together. And my dad could only think of him in terms of what they were like as kids. So he could only talk to him in those terms. And so the stories that my dad and Arthur talked about were stories of childhood and biting into an apple and only half the worm was there when he looked at the apple. My dad couldn't relate to him as this boy who had grown up and gotten several doctorates and was in such a high position. And the people of Nazareth didn't know how to relate to this boy, Jesus, who had grown up and now was proclaiming himself to be the Son of God. They only knew him as the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and all the others. They knew his family, and they knew him as a construction worker. Even we think of him as what? A carpenter. Well, that's not the word that's used in Greek in the Bible. It's not necessarily a carpenter. In fact, there were very few trees near Nazareth. It'd been sort of hard to be working with wood. About 3 or 4 miles away from Nazareth was the town of Sepphoris. And it was a brand new town. And it was being built by the Romans as the new capital city. And they were hiring a lot of construction workers, Masonites, and people to work with stone. So chances are that Joseph and Jesus had worked on building that city since it was so close to Nazareth. So more than a carpenter, Jesus was probably a construction worker. So their derision was toward this uneducated laborer, construction worker. What does this construction worker know about the scripture? Nothing. That was their attitude. How dare he say the things that he was saying? And the disciples now were uncomfortable. They had gone from this comfortable spot in their lives, seeing Jesus being admired and sought out by everyone, to going to his hometown and not being loved. Oops, wrong side. After all they had witnessed in chapters 1 through 5, now they get to chapter 6, things are starting to change. You know, he had always been fighting against the authorities. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Romans. But now he was fighting against family. Maybe we know ourselves too well. Just like the town knew Jesus too well. Maybe we know ourselves too well, and maybe sometimes we're our own worst enemies. just like Good Will Hunting. He was his own worst enemy. He wasn't willing to step out and do the things that he was good at doing. He kept it hidden until he was found out. Jesus talked about people doing ordinary things all the time. They were ordinary things, but they were important things. Taking care of sheep, cooking, planting seeds, cleaning house, repairing, trimming a vineyard, doing some fishing. That's pretty nice. So that others might eat. Maybe we could expand that a little today. Visiting the sick, the lonely, doing shopping for others that can't get out, taking them shopping, driving, mowing, reading, praying, singing. I heard there's a bunch of other singers in here that aren't in choir.
Next Wednesday,
okay. And, you know, many of you know I'm the hospice chaplain. And many, many of the people just love me coming and singing to them. I don't have to do anything else. I just sing to them. And they enjoy it. Sometimes I bring my little boombox and play for them. And they like that too. Or reading to them, or just listening to their story. Everybody has a story. And they're all interesting. You know, where they were born, what their family was like. Sitting, game playing, tutoring, letter writing, babysitting, watching children. What else? You know, getting out of our comfort zones. A lot of us have talents that we don't use because it's out of our comfort zone. You know, my wife isn't here today because she's picking up her grandson. I could use her as an example, but I won't. Because he'll get back to her. But I have comfort zones that I hate getting out of. I know I have talents that I don't use. We all do. You know, that's okay. It's okay if we try getting out of our comfort zones. We're not alone. That's another theme in the Bible. We are not alone. God is with us. Okay, that's not a theme in Mark, but it is a theme in Matthew. Emmanuel, God with us. We don't have to exclusively stay in Mark during Mark. That's okay. God says, I'll see you through. You're not going to die of a heart attack because you're singing. I'll be with you. You can get out of this zone. Even the disciples were able to get out of this zone. I was with them too. And after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after he ascended to heaven, they really got out of their comfort zone, didn't they? We're sitting here today because, thank you, Lord, they got out of their comfort zone. And they spread the word of Jesus Christ. Those disciples that were uneducated, didn't know how to speak, didn't know how to read, didn't know how to write, but they could sure walk and they could sure talk. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, page 593, Here I Am, Lord.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.